One of the things I know about both is they've always been on the forefront or the cutting edge. When Carla and I started teaching discipleship 4 years ago, and then about 6 months ago said, I want you to shut down what you're doing, and I want you to take it to the mainstream of the body of Christ. I was a little bit hesitant to shut down what we're doing, but we've done it. And we're moving into the mainstream of the body of Christ with what God wants for the body of Christ today. There's been an ailment in the body of Christ, the sickness. And 90% of all Christians have basically refused to share their faith. This is a real statistic. It is a sickening statistic. But it is a reality that we have to deal with. And God's tired of it. And He wants to bring discipleship to the forefront the way Jesus discipled people. Not the way man disciples people, but the way Jesus disciples people. And God wants every one of His people from the minute they're born again to become daily witnesses for Him everywhere they go, in everything they do, in every way possible. In researching this and looking at it for years, I found that the pattern for discipleship was Jesus. What did He do? He said, come with me. You, come with me. Come with me. And He discipled the 12 like that, and then He sent out the 70. And so there was a rubbing of shoulders that had to take place with Jesus. There was a constantly being with Him so that He could constantly pour into them so they could be properly discipled. And you know, we've tried in a way to do part of that by sending them out two by two. But there's a missing element in what we've been doing, and God wants to restore that. And the bottom line is, the missing element is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. When Jesus ascended, He sent the Holy Spirit to be His witness, to be the one that testified of Him. And so for Carla to walk with Jesus today, she has to do it through the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there are no witnesses. And so our goal today and over the 12 sessions that we want to bring to you is not to disciple you, because Jim can't disciple anybody. But my job is to lead you to the one who can disciple you, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you everywhere you go, every moment of the day. And so the few little things and tips we're going to give you is to help you to connect to Him. The truth is, I can't do this for you. Your pastor can't do this for you. You have to desire it. You have to say, I want this. I want to walk with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to teach you a couple simple things. One is to write your testimony. Two is to then take that testimony and put it in a book. But how you're going to stay connected to the Holy Spirit is very simple. Once you have your testimony in a pamphlet or a book, you're simply going to say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this. I can't walk this out on myself. I need Jesus to be with me 24/7. And the only way that's possible is for you to be with me. And I invite you in to be with me. And then every day you go out and practice. Here I am, Holy Spirit. I need you to help me to give these books away. I need you to help me to share my testimony. I need you to help me to love people. I need you to show me how to pray with people. I need you to disciple me. And so our goal is for the Holy Spirit to be loosed in this house. Amen. And for the Holy Spirit to reign in your life. And if you will let Him reign in your life, you will become an active witness for Jesus. I guarantee it. How can I guarantee it? I've seen this as hundreds of people that we've taught. After connecting them to the Holy Spirit, He does the work, and we just watch in amazement. But you're going to have to want it, and you're going to have to be willing to work for it. One of the things that we like to do in these meetings, is we like to give one person an opportunity to share their salvation testimony. Now, this has to be prepared in advance because they only get 3 minutes. And 3 minutes goes by pretty quick. And so you have to prepare with a spirit of excellence. Some of you in the days ahead when we come back are going to be called upon. And you'll be given a month advance notice at least to prepare what you're going to say about what Jesus did for you. And so this ends up being a pulpit or a podium for someone to practice sharing their salvation testimony, not just so we can hear what God has done in their life, but so they can practice so that when the opportunity happens out there and the Holy Spirit opens the door, they will be able to verbalize, this is what my God has done for me. And that's what we want for everybody. Jimmy, would you come and would you share what Jesus has done for you?
I was picked on and bullied pretty bad from first grade through 10th grade. My stepfamily was mentally cruel. Once I was getting beat over the head and back with sticks as I was cowering away from my stepsisters. I looked up to see their grandmother watching this happen from the balcony. Next thing I knew, their grandmother was yanking my hair and dragging me into the house to be punished. That day, I separated myself from the world, trusted no one. I became very depressed and tried for a good 2 hours to cut my wrist, but the glass wouldn't even make a scratch. I fell into deep depression and lack of self-worth for many years. Life had no purpose. I was just existing. I partied at a buddy's house for 2 weeks. And my last morning there, a bus showed up. My buddy had apparently promised to go to church with a guy named Randy once if he'd stop bugging him, and this was that day. On that bus, they asked if anyone who was not absolutely sure if they would go to heaven if they died tonight to raise their hands if they want to know Jesus. Well, I raised my hand because I wanted to know for sure. Randy came over and prayed a prayer with me. He showed me Romans 10:9, where it says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I am saved, rescued from separation from him. That very moment, I felt different, like burdens were taken off my shoulders. Years later, I got engaged to be married. I loved her and her family unconditionally. Then she became distant and told me it wasn't working out and asked me to find another place. It really hurt. I transferred my job to another city and found myself without an address, virtually homeless. So God provided an emergency new address. Then my ex's 18-year-old daughter ODs on heroin. I was not allowed to be around, to contact the family, anything. I never got closure. My family, whom I loved, was ripped from me, and all I could do was watch from afar. That crushed me. Since then, I have had to live alone, and very rarely does someone come to visit me. The loneliness has been absolute torture and pushed me to my breaking point. But at the same time, I've been granted this amazing quiet time with God. My best friend of 31 years committed suicide. That has changed how I look at everything. I've continued to go through difficult times in life, but I get through them because my Heavenly Father is with me. He doesn't allow us to go through something to destroy us, but to build us up. He has restored my hope when I was ready to give up on everything. Since then, I have life and purpose. He has restored my ability to feel emotions, the ability to love others, to forgive myself. I now have peace. Everything in the book is true. Everything he promises is real and active in anyone's life if they choose to let him in it. He does hear your prayers, and prayer really does work. Amen. Do you want to know the God of all creation? He wants you to know him. You come to know him by letting him into your heart. Are you willing to accept him into your heart?
Now, for him to get that close to the given time that he was allotted, it took practice. When we call upon some of you and we ask you to share your testimony, we will provide an outline for you. We will provide a video for you. You'll have to be diligent. You'll have to study it. You'll have to apply yourself. But you will get good at sharing your verbal testimony if you will practice it. Amen? Another thing that we'll be doing in the future is a thing we call popcorn testimonies. Popcorn testimonies is when we set the timer for 2 minutes and we asked somebody to come up very quickly and share what they did over the last 30 or 60 days based on what they learned the last time we were here. And so I want you to be ready the next time we come with a popcorn testimony. And you'd say, well, what is that popcorn testimony going to be about? Well, we're going to challenge you to do two things today. One, we're going to challenge you to carry a book or two in your hand everywhere you go. And simply say in the morning when you get up, when you leave the house with your books, Holy Spirit, I need help with this. I need you to disciple me. And I need you to show me who needs this, the Word of God that's in these books. And I assure you, if you will ask Him for His help, He will walk with you and He will show you. And that'll be the first challenge. And we'll need you to come back when we come back here in about 5 weeks with a popcorn testimony. We want to hear how God is working through you. The second thing, we're going to be teaching you today on the topic of as you go love. So this is session one. Everything we do as far as sharing our faith, as far as witnessing, must be birthed in love. There's people out there looking for notches on their gun belt. They're looking for numbers and statistics. And God's interested in numbers and statistics, but with the right heart. So everything we do in reaching our community and sharing our faith has to be bathed in love. So our first speaker today, Pastor Reggie, is going to come, and he's going to take the first segment here on the topic of As You Go Love.
I need more than 7 minutes.
You got six.
Praise God. As you go, as many of you know, go is an action word. But Jesus gave the commandment in John 13:34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But then he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And he didn't stop there. He said it again in John chapter 15. He's trying to show us that if we're going to do anything, if we're going to change the world, it has to be by love. Not by condemning, not by condoning anything, but it's by loving that person. Whether the person is ungodly, no matter what the person has done, no matter how they smell, no matter what you think, no matter how they look. And one thing about Jesus, he's our perfect example. He exemplified. He exemplified love. He coined the phrase, the agape love. Whether it's John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, or it's 1 John chapter 5 or 3, 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So here we are. We have love. Now it's up to us to show the world the love that God has in us. And it's already been shed abroad in our heart, but it's not for us to keep. It's for us to show the love of God that God has given to us, to the world. Because what we are His light. We are His light. We are His people. We're His representative, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. We are His ambassadors. And as His ambassadors, we represent Him. Well, what would Jesus do? We see that everywhere. We see it on wristbands, on banners, on bus. What would Jesus do? How would He love that person? Well, He would love them unconditional. Love is not based on, well, the love of God, I put it like that. It's not based on what you have done. The love of God is unconditional. Praise God. If we want to change this world, if we want to change our community, if we want to change our family, love them unconditional. No matter what you know about them, no matter what you see, you have to love them unconditional. Love them in spite of it. That's what Jesus did when they, in the Passover, or when they was whipping Him, spitting on Him. He still loved them. Regardless of what they did, He still loved them. That didn't stop Him from loving them. The abuse, verbal and physical, that He took, He still loved them. So now, as our example, He's telling us to, as you go love, how do you do it? You do it unconditional. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to love this person regardless. No matter what they say, no matter what they have done, I'm going to love them unconditional. And I guarantee you, all of us will have that opportunity. That once we make that commitment, you're going to have that opportunity to love somebody unconditional. No matter what they have said or what they have done to you, you're going to have that chance to love them. Jesus did. He loved them no matter what they said. He still loved them and went to the cross for them. Even that ungodly person that we think is ungodly, God loved him. He said in John 3:16-17, for he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So when they see us, they're supposed to see Jesus. We're supposed to exemplify Jesus. The love of God, according to Romans, has already been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You and I are supposed to love them. And as we go, because you can't go sitting. You can't go just standing. Go is an action word. That means you're moving in the grocery store, in the laundromat. Praise God. At the gym. On your job, you will have opportunities to love people. I guarantee you. It will present itself that you're going to love them. And he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love them? Unconditional. He loved them unconditional. No matter what Peter said, no matter what Judas did, he still loved them. No matter what he knew about Thomas, he still loved them. And think about it. He still loves us no matter what we say or do, day in and day out. And in our family, the family that know us, we have an opportunity to love them. Because if anybody know you, it's your family. They know you before you got saved, and you know them. So you have an opportunity to let the love of God shine and abroad in your heart and to be a witness for him. That as you go, you have to make, I'm going to love them regardless. No matter what they say, you can't stop me from loving you. And when people come in here, that's not the way we think they should come. How they look, that's the thing about it. Jesus loved them regardless. Tattoos, ears pierced. No matter how they smell, no matter how they look, we have to do the same thing.
Yeah, using a timer for our speakers is intentional, and it helps us to perfect our gift. It helps us to deliver the best we can in allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. He said a lot in just 6 minutes. There was more in that 6 minutes than I've heard in 45-minute messages, because he had to prepare for it because of that focus of meeting that standard of 6 minutes. If you'd like to know more about Pastor Reggie, read chapter 4 in the purple book, I Took My First Drink in the Seventh Grade. Powerful story of what God has done. We're going to go ahead now with our second speaker for the topic of As You Go Love. Precious, would you come? And while she's coming, let me ask you this. Pastor Reggie mentioned this, committing to loving no matter what. Is anybody willing to do that? Is anybody willing to go out and practice for the next 5 weeks an unconditional loving people? Even when you're in the grocery line, and this lady's in the front, and snot's running out of the nose of her child, and he's screaming, and you want to get out of there, rather than get mad at her, you go take that baby and you wipe their nose and you love that baby and you love that person and you help them. It ain't easy. It's hard, but that's unconditional love. Would you consider doing that over the next 5 weeks? Precious As You Go Love.
Blessings to you, River of Life. How many came out to worship God? Hallelujah. Well, the true meaning, one of the true meanings of worship is the bowing of our will to God's will. And one of the foremost things that God wills for us as believers is to exemplify and show the love of God as we go. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Not that he merely loves. He is love. And everything that God does, it flows from his love for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I like the Voice translation. It says, for God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son that whosoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. So our role in As We Go Love is to stop people from facing that everlasting destruction by showing them the love of Christ, by showing them that there's a God who created him for a purpose, a God that loves them, as my husband said, unconditionally. We as believers are created in God's image and in his likeness. We have his spiritual DNA. Therefore, we love as he loves. We exemplify his love as he did in giving. How do we show love as we go? One of the things is we make time for people. As you go, and on a daily basis, I'm going all kinds of places, just as every one of you in this room is doing. I take these books and I give them out. I do, as Jim says, I ask the Holy Spirit, who would you have me to give this book to? We take time out for people while we're in the grocery store and we're watching, you know, we're looking at the progress we're going to get. But in the back of my mind, I'm looking at the people that are in the room where I'm at. And God, which one? You have a spiritual radar on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit will say, that's the one. That's the one. I remember I was going on my way to the hospital to see my daughter. She had an attack at work, and I was on my way to see her, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, you're going to see a redhead at the hospital, and that's the person that you're to give this book to. I'm like, okay, to myself. So I get to the hospital, I see my daughter and all the time, and the doctor and seeing her and everything, and I still don't see this redhead person all this time. So now I'm leaving the hospital and I'm going to the garage where my car is parked at. And lo and behold, I get on the elevator going, leaving, and the Holy Spirit said, there she is, right on the elevator with me. God wants to show his love, and he will give you by the voice of the Holy Spirit who he wants to show it to. I'm a living witness. How do we show love as we go? We listen to people. Sometimes people are talking. We listen while we're wherever we are. Another way that we do, we hug people when God leads us to hug people. Do you know how many people out in the world just need a hug? They don't really want to go through all of, tell you about all that they're going, but they just need that touch. They just need that embracement. And sometimes when the Lord leads me, even when I'm out, I'll hug people. And it does a world of good. It shows the love of God to them. Love is our motivation for evangelism. We evangelize. We give these books out because we love people. Because we want to see them encounter the God that we love. We want to see them have an experience with the God that we've come to know, that has shed his love abroad in our hearts. And as I leave, I just want to sing a line of this verse that the Lord gave me. He said, we must show the love of Jesus everywhere we go. For God is love. So let the whole world know that he loves us with an unconditional love. So run to his love, for he's running to you, 'cause God loves you. And that's what we have to tell them. He loves you with an unconditional love.
And even if we have more time, we should always stop when the anointing stops. When we know it's time. Precious stopped. She still had more time, but she accomplished the mission. She did what God put in her heart to do for today. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Precious, you can read her testimony in the Purple Book. You would find that on page 18, chapter 5, I Was Kind of a Loner. And we're going to continue with our third speaker, As You Go Love. Jim Cates, would you come?
First, I want to say, if God's chosen do not take Christ's love to the lost and hurting world, no one will. The laborers are few. They will perish. Love them. Love conquers fear. Love conquers all. When I was asked to speak on this subject again, I wanted something fresh from God. I asked God, how? How do I go in love? The response I got was, love me first. Have a close relationship and walk with me first. Before you step outside your home, get with me first. Pray, take communion. Thank me for the day I have prepared for you in advance. Then, in response to the second question, he asked me a question. When I asked you to give a book to each one of those people I have prompted to give you to give books to, which ones accepted and which ones refused? Why did most attempts fail? What did you do different with the ones that did accept? So this message is about how. When seeking him on what he would have me say to you, I asked, how do I go in love? How do I love those that you would have crossed my path? Father God said, how is it you can drive past a homeless person on the street and have no consideration for them at all, and yet have great concern for a coworker? Investment. To be able to truly love someone, you must have some sort of investment in them. That's how Christ loves each one of us. He has a huge investment in each one of us. So he cares about what happens to each one of us personally. You increase in your love for Father God by investing your time and attention in him. People are not always lovable. Most genuinely do not know what love is. They grow up in a single-parent home, if there's a parent at all, often abused or neglected. The world tells them that sex is love and happiness comes from obtaining things. Now everyone is distracted by games and social media, which consumes 90% of our spare time. People are becoming disconnected from other people and plugged into electronic devices instead. It's safer that way. Just look at the news. It's not easy to be a witness these days. No one trusts anyone. For decades, people have been coming in the name of God, but most of them did not have a real relationship with the Father and therefore could only perform doctrinal works. So Christianity has a bad rap. We are faced with an uphill battle, having to earn their trust before they will let down their guard and accept what we have to say. I understand. I have the same kind of defense system. I see a person in a suit and tie, I instantly expect that person to be trying to sell me something or try to obtain financial gain from me. So up goes the defensive wall. You will not see me voluntarily wear a suit because I am not that guy. Nope, jeans and a t-shirt for me, thank you. In my efforts to do what I have agreed to do, which is hand out these testimony books every day, I am a disciple. I am learning what works and what doesn't work. For many people, it seems to flow effortlessly, but for me, it has been much more of a challenge. For example, if I just walk up to a lady waiting in line at Burger King or in a store and offer her a book, she assumes I am selling her something and up goes her defensive. But if I chat with the pizza guy for several visits, and he tells me some of his personal life, I tell him some of mine, he offers me a pizza on the house, I see an opportunity to share this book with him and share my story. The other employees might also hear about it. Or if I talk casual to someone waiting to check out at the grocery store, or the security guard I talk to at Walmart all the time, I happen to have a book on hand, I can look for an opportunity to give the book, and it might help them as a gift, and it might help them. Then they're much more apt to accept the book and maybe even receive some prayer. So I'm finding that establishing a relationship first is essential to a successful exchange. It's effort, and I find much resistance, from the people's skepticism to the enemy throwing doubt and past failures at me to the battles within my own reasoning. But love is the real motivator. When Christ reminds me of what he has rescued me from, the hopelessness, the despair, the desperate bouts of depression, I can't imagine how difficult it must be to get out of bed each day for someone who doesn't know Jesus. They're begging us to rescue them. They don't know anything but darkness, and we are the only light they will encounter. If we shrink back, it's a death sentence to them. This is so important. Here's what he has been teaching me lately. Maintain a close relationship with Father God. Seek to know him better each day. Take communion in your home daily. Remind yourself in his word daily. Pray with him daily. Otherwise, distractions and busyness creeps in and creates a wedge between you and God. Communion is becoming more and more real to me each day. Every day is more difficult to eat of it. I realize more each day what it means to pick up my cross and follow him. The failures and shortcomings are terrible and heartbreaking, but the victories are hugely rewarding and make it all worthwhile. So don't give up. There is still much he has for us to do. The harvest is ripe for the picking, and he has chosen you and empowered you to go ye into all your world to proclaim the good news, that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and now we can too because what he has done, Mark 16:15.
It wasn't too long ago when we first met Jim that he did not know how to love, nor did he know how to be loved. But through the discipleship series, he came to a place of learning both. He's a real man of God today. Amen. Look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
What we bring to you is so simple. Carry two books. Holy Spirit, help me to use these today. Carry your testimony. Holy Spirit, help me to use these today. And then we add to it, Holy Spirit, as I'm going today, help me to love people. Help me to look at people. Help me to see them with your eyes. Let me unconditionally love them. Don't discount this as being so simple that it can't work. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to be simple. It is a very simple gospel. Get saved and tell others how to get saved. That's really what it's all about. So as you go, carry two books. As you go, love people. As you go, love Carla Barbarossa. I will tell you, when I got saved, she was shy, timid, bashful. She would share her faith with nobody. What you'll hear and see in her over the next meetings that we're with you is all that God has done. God delivers. God changes. God helps us.
As you go, love. Matthew 22:35-40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I look at the real life story books as a book of love, because people like to hear stories, but interlaced between the stories is the Bible. So they're getting a story about somebody, but they're getting God's story of love interlaced in there. One of our favorite places, and you'll probably hear this a lot, is Dunkin' Donuts. We love their coffee. And the one in our area, a few years ago, a couple from India were running it. They moved here to make money. They had to leave their children back in India, and they would send the money back to India. They were hoping to get enough money to go back home. They could make more money here this way and send the money back. And I started a relationship with the wife, and I had given her a book, told her about church, would always, you know, we were in there every day and would just talk to her. And they would be able to go back maybe once a year, sometimes twice a year, just depending on how much money they had. And one time I felt a nudging of the Holy Spirit to give her some money towards going back home to India. And she didn't want to take it. And I just knew she was supposed to take it, you know. And I know a lot of times when you work in a store like that, there's, you know, protocol. They're not allowed to take things because they think that you're trying to, you know, get something for yourself. But she graciously received it. And I continued to talk to her about the Lord, told her about the church, but she always was working on Sundays, and I thought maybe one day she'd come. Well, to my surprise, one Sunday morning, she verified the time, and she brought to the church 10 dozen donuts to share with the church because she was so touched by my little gift for her. And it was just a relationship that we had. And that just ministered to me greatly. One other time in our area, it was a Dunkin' Donuts that we don't usually go into. And I took a stack of six of the books in with me to give to the workers there. And there was a man standing outside, and I turned around and I said, "Oh, I have a gift for you." You know, showed him the book. "This is where our stories are at, and this is for you." And he said, "Thank you." And I turned around, and I felt like I was supposed to turn around again, but I got this nudging of the Holy Spirit, and said, "Would you like to come in with me? Would you like to have something to eat?" And to me, it just seemed funny. I don't know why I did it, but I just felt the nudging. And so he said, "Yeah, sure, I would love that." And he says, "Most people just give me money." And then I was really curious. He says, "I'm homeless." And I said, "Oh, okay." Well, I said, "Well, come on in, and, you know, I want you to get something to eat." So he came in, and it was, you know, we were standing in line, and there was a line there, so we were just chatting a little bit. And he said, "Yeah, I work for this roofing company, and I had fallen off the roof, and I hurt my back, and I haven't been able to, you know, recover since, and that's how I ended up becoming homeless, you know." So I said, "Well, I just want you to get whatever you want, you know." So he got what he wanted, and he said, "Sometimes I just come in here to get warm, and sometimes they let me use the phone, you know." So just taking my stuff out to the car, and I felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit again. "You got to take him some money." So I, okay, so I went back to the car and got some money, and I went back in, and I said, "I have something else for you." So I, you know, put the money in his hand, and then the nudging again, "You need to pray for him." So I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Yes, you can." So I laid my hands on them and prayed, you know, for God to heal him, for God to deliver him, for God to set him free, and for God to help him to be able to get to a place where he wasn't homeless anymore. And it's an awesome feeling whenever you can, you know, get out of yourself and help someone else. Like we were talking, like, get your eyes off of yourself. You get your eyes on the person. And we were talking about, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they smell like. It doesn't matter, because they're lost. And they need the love of God. They need hope. And they're searching. And we have the answers. So if you could open up your heart and get your story written and get it in a book, you can become a carrier of God's love to a lost and dying world. They're out there, and they're waiting for your story. They're waiting for your testimony that can touch them, because your story can be just the one that can reach that one person. It might not be mine. It just may be yours. So think about, how can I get my story written so I can reach the people with the love of God? Amen.
Last time we were here, there were 20 people that raised their hand who said they would be willing to write their testimonies. Any of you in the house that you raised your hand back then? We've got the first testimony in. It's done. Amen. You should shout about that. That is awesome. The first one's done. And more are coming. I'm going to just read you the front page of that first one. I became a people-pleasing puppet. I was never good enough. I was plagued with rejection and thoughts of suicide. I was consumed with guilt, shame, and hatred. I was exhausted physically and emotionally until... And then you open it up and it goes into the good stuff about Jesus. But y'all have a story. Y'all have a testimony. The idea is we want you to get those testimonies done so we can put them on brightly colored paper like this green or this blue or this yellow so that you can use them in conjunction with the books temporarily. You slip them down inside the book and let them hang out where a person can see it. And you would say something like, hey, I'm going to be in the next book. My story is the yellow flyer. You can read about me in that yellow flyer. And so it's a mechanism to connect the two to the book, but also to connect you to the Holy Spirit. Our next person coming is going to be precious, and she's going to come as an equipping evangelist. Okay? Her focus, her job is to move the body into action. And the reason I'm telling you this is there's an equipping evangelist in this house. I don't know who you are, and maybe yet you don't know who you are. But I want you to listen and hear her heart and the Holy Spirit through her. And I want you to ask yourself, wow, does God want to use me in the way he's using her right now to be the catalyst that moves his body? Because the reality of it is, without all of the gifts in place, what we bring to you will flop. So we need all the gifts and all the gifts to rise up and the Holy Spirit to take control and lead all those gifts. So she's going to give you an exhortation now. As I said, pay close attention to it and ask, could this be me? And if it's not you, just be encouraged by it.
2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 talks about God reconciling us back into himself. And has given to us as believers the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling is to bring you back into harmony with God. How many have had that experience where God has reconciled you? Well, he's encouraging us. He's giving us as believers that ministry. I don't care whether you're an evangelist, whether you're the usher of the church. If you are a believer, you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And it's our job to go into all the world and proclaim this gospel. In the 16th chapter of Mark, God has given us the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and proclaim this gospel. So the grocery store is part of the world, the cleaners, and I'm naming these things because I do this on a consistent basis. In the year of 2012, God strategically allowed us to meet Jim and Carla Barbarossa. My husband pastors a ministry and I work with him in the ministry. But one of the missing ingredients in pure gospel ministry was the ministry of evangelism. And God strategically set up an appointment for us to meet him. We thought we were going to purchase a tallit, but God said, ha ha, I got the last laugh on you all. It was a divine appointment. And to make a long story short, Jim encouraged my husband and I to do our testimonies. We did our testimony. We brought Jim and Carla to our ministry. They discipled the people at Pure Gospel Ministries. We have given over 36,000 books. This purple book is consumed of mostly the members of our church. We don't have a church with 500 people yet, but it's a small church. But this small number has given over 36,000 books. I encourage you to do exactly like he said. I was one that was reluctant. I was reluctant to write my testimony, but I did it in obedience. And I'm so glad that I obeyed God, because now when I go out in the grocery store and everywhere and I said, this is me, It's strategic that God gave him to put your picture on the back, because that is an attention getter right there. When they see your picture on there, they say, okay, this is her. And I begin to share my testimony with them and show the love of God with them. I've had the opportunity to meet a man with five or six children, and I walked up to him and he didn't really want to receive the book. But as you show the love of God, I put some money in there. I went to put 20 in there. God said that ain't enough. I had to go back to my purse and put more money in there. And when he saw that money in that book, it melted his heart, because he thought I was just feeling sorry for him. No, I wasn't feeling sorry. I was showing the love of God. I wanted him to know that God sees you. God sees you right here in the parking lot of this grocery store. He sees you. And that's what God wants us to let people know. I see you. I've had so many opportunities to share this. I'm going to say this and I'm going to sit down. I was at the grocery store. I give a lot of books out at the grocery store. Praise God. But I saw this cashier with this mean look on his face. And the enemy was saying, he's not going to accept that book. Why would you go to him? And all kind of stuff in my head. But I disobeyed the enemy, and I obeyed the voice of God. And when I gave him the book, that cashier that was mean looking all that time got an instant smile on his face. We don't know what he'd been dealing with. He could have been dealing with irate customers. He could have been dealing with family problems and issues at home. And I'm looking at the outward appearance. But God said, don't look at that. Give him the book, because God looks at the inward appearance. God looked at the man's heart, and instantly a smile came over his face. How many smiles can you put on someone's face?
My role in the meetings has gone from being the keynote speaker, where you do all the talking all the time, to being a facilitator and allowing other gifts to be used and watch those gifts matured. Somebody in this house is going to need to facilitate these meetings at some point when they're handed off to you. What I just did with that timer, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to see that. I knew God was in that. He told me to get up and get the timer before it even went off. And you throw the timer away when the Holy Spirit is in it. Okay? You have to have a routine, and you have to have time limits. But when God moves, you got to get out of the way. God was in that, and you have to recognize that. So somebody is going to facilitate someday. Some of you are going to do the roles that my four speakers did today. You're going to be the ones to do what they just did. In Pastor Reggie and Precious Church next month, all five speakers are from the house, are from that church. They have learned this, they're living it, and now they're teaching it. So the idea is for us to hand you a discipleship program, so to speak, that you can keep implemented from now until Jesus returns. So you will be constantly discipling over and over and over and over. Would you put that one picture up for me? Technical stuff, I love it. Well, while he's doing that, I'll come back and finish with that. Please write your testimony. There's a template you can use to write it that will show you how to do it. Pastor Janet already has a person in place that's helping with that. It's not hard. You can do that. There's ways to get it done. So prayerfully consider writing your story to the glory of God so he can use it. I'd love to come back here in 5 or 6 weeks and know that six of you at least have written your story in the last month. I think that's a good goal. So prayerfully consider if that's you and get your story written. We'll get it in a flyer like this so you can use it. Okay, as you leave here today, take 14 books with you. That's two for every day. hold them books in your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I want to be a witness for you. I want to do this, but I need somebody to disciple me. Jesus can't walk with me the way he walked with his disciples, but he sent you, Holy Spirit, and I know that you'll help me. And ask him, and he'll do that. The other thing you want to do at the same time, Holy Spirit, as I leave here today, I'm going out into the world, I want to love people. Help me to love people. And again, don't discount this. This is so simple that some people who have really big, high religious degrees, they look down on it and say, they can't work. It does work. We have discipled hundreds in the last couple of years. And I want to end with this. The ultimate show of love. Carla and I just got back from San Antonio, Texas. When we arrived in Texas, we went to a Dunkin' Donuts, went to our hotel. The next morning, we were leaving that hotel, and we were ready for our coffee as we were leaving. And we could have went back to that same Dunkin' Donuts, but we have purposed that we go someplace new constantly to meet new people so we can share more books, so we can share more of the love of Christ. So instead of going 5 minutes to that Dunkin', we went 10 or 12 minutes out of our way to go to a totally new place. When we went in there, Carla gave books to about 10 people. Or she had 10 books. She gave books to 9 people, and she held one book back. You might say, why'd she do that? The Holy Ghost. You see, as we start depending on him, the Holy Ghost kicks in. The Holy Spirit pointed out that lady right there. She walked over to that lady, had a conversation with her. I won't go into any of the details because I'll mess it up. But the bottom line is, before we left Dunkin' Donuts, that lady had Jesus in her heart. That lady got saved right at that moment. Because somebody who used to be afraid, who used to be shy, who used to be bashful, who used to be timid, just simply said, God, I can't do this. I need help. Holy Spirit, will you help me? And then she did what he said. And now she's verbally able to communicate the gospel. And that's our heart, folks. We want that for all of you. We want that for all of Christian International, all of River of Life, all of the body of Christ. We want to shake that 90% of the body that never shares their faith. We want to shake that sleeping giant. We want to cause it to awake. And we want to send God's army out into the world to do what he said to do so that the trumpet can sound and we can all go and be with Jesus. God, yes, God is patient. God is long-suffering. But he's not just waiting because he wants to. He's waiting because he needs his army to go out and do what needs to be done. Are you willing to be a part of that army? Are you willing to write your testimony? Are you willing to carry the books? Are you willing to practice loving people? I hope your answer is yes. Please come back May 26th, I believe is the date, and come back with a popcorn testimony. When I say we need somebody to share what God has done, run up here and share for 2 minutes. This is how God has used me this week. This is what God has done through me. And that'll be an encouragement to all of us. You see, we've got to encourage each other in this battle. It's a battle. It's a war. But you know what? I'm having fun at it because I'm on the winning side and I'm seeing souls saved, and that's what it's all about.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise.